My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to eighth time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty well hit. Center field. Back goes Isbell. That is number 30. Yordan back-to-back home runs. And the Astros lead 4-1.
Aaron Yordan putting on a show, another multi-home run game for him. This one a bomb, 404 to that opposite field gap.
He's so good. You know, his ability just to change the outcome of the game with one swing of the bat. And also, you know, seeing his home run was also the one that set the tone for our offense there.
We got to find something better than Singy for Jonathan Singleton. Singy.
Singy.
Singy, yeah. That first home run.
Sounds like a little bit more like a cricket player, to be honest.
So, yeah. I see where you're going with that. Yordan Alvarez, 30th home run of the year. Joe Espada, that's who you heard there talking about the big power surge from the Astros yesterday. Sweep of the Royals over the weekend. The store is open today, by the way, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pain
it feels all. You know what? You know what it feels like. It feels a little bit like they're a little stand-in for the Mariners, the team that you're thinking like, oh man, they're on the rise. I think, and then the Astros just
slap them around.
Backhand to the face. Get this, back in your know your role. Know your role.
Know your role and shut your mouth. This is this is what playoff baseball feels like. Kansas City. All right, and Seth.
I hurt my finger on my
Seth,
ring.
Seth, you hit that hard, man.
It's a danger of marriage they don't tell you about.
Jeez. that's right. I don't know, Seth, but perhaps the music would tell you. Have you heard the good news?
Yes, I have. I can't remember the exact margin right now. But
Six games. Season high, six games.
It's hard
games.
To remember sometimes and keep track.
It just keeps going up and up and up. That's the
I'm
thing,
just,
man.
I'm genuinely worried about the tip of my finger.
Yeah, you okay?
From B-slapping the Royals.
That's all right. Small
people
price.
Don't talk about the sacrifices us sports fans make.
That's right.
We're trying to metaphorically slap up the Royals.
That's it, man. Broken
slap
digits.
My Royals up.
Broken digits. It's good to be here on a Labor Day Monday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Nice to be back in the saddle. Appreciate Brandon Scott sitting in for a couple days last week. And yes, that's all I could think of over the weekend, man. It's like, you know what? This was a... Royals are a cute little team, man. Came in last year and kind of made it a little dicey for the Astros trying to win the division last year. Remember that? They'd lost.
Yeah.
The Astros going into this weekend had lost 8 of their last 9 to the Royals. So for whatever reason, the Royals kind of had the Astros number until this weekend. And then they're looking around going, what's the number again? We had their number. What's the number? They lost the numbers this weekend because the Astros got the sweep. 6-game lead over the Mariners. And as I said, Seth, I think a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it might have been last Monday when we came in, maybe the week before that, I said, it ain't the Mariners anymore, man. I'm looking upward. They're only 3 games back of the Guardians right now to get the annual tradition of the bye in the first round of the playoffs.
This has been a tough season in terms of obviously the hard start, but then even as the Astros have climbed and clawed and scratched their way back to where they are, there's always just some huge looming issue. Always. And yet, this, fingers crossed, including my now broken finger, fingers crossed, like, this is the best I've felt about this pitching staff. With, you know, they go through August with one of the very best performances in a month in Major League history by a pitching staff. And you're at a point now where Blanco looks like he's righted the ship somewhat, and they're going to move him to the bullpen. And oh my goodness, you got a full slate. Mm-hmm. It's a good spot. And then, not to mention, Forrest, I don't even want to say it out loud. It's like that Beetlejuice thing. It's the opposite of Beetlejuice. I'm worried that if I say Forrest Whitley's name too many times, it'll all fall apart again. Mm-hmm. He's the opposite of a Beetlejuice. He's something you're hoping will arrive and stick around for a while. But if you talk about it too much, it's destined to blow up in your face. But Forrest Whitley's coming back. And look, with him, it's always been injuries and how they affect him, or just weirdness, study drugs, whatever it might be, going way back. Mm-hmm. But you're adding to the mix now, and even strengthening potentially.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, Whitley, I'm sure, will be part of the bullpen. He got called up. So yeah, let's get people caught up. Hope you had a great weekend. First and foremost, we got a lot of football to get to. It's week one, so we're gonna get you ready for the Colts start to in the next segment. But yeah, what Seth's referring to there, they expand the rosters to 28. Over the weekend, so everybody, September 1st, you can call a couple guys up from the minor leagues, and the Astros are calling up a third catcher, which a lot of teams do. Cesar Salazar is back. And Forrest Whitley, yeah, man, it was either going to be Forrest Whitley or Rafael Montero, two very polarizing figures in Astros lore. It was either going to be the guy who's been a 9-year minor leaguer and can never get healthy, or the guy who is pocketed $33 million to do nothing but stink over the last year and a half. It's Whitley.
But there's an upside.
Key to the World Series in 2022.
I know you're one of the people that just decided not to stand and cheer for Yuli Gurriel, but okay.
Not true. Okay, that is not true. I love Yuli Gurriel. Forrest Whitley is being called back. Yeah, he was great in Sugarland. He 22 innings over his last 20 outings. He's got a sub-1 ERA. So we'll see if anything happens there.
With Forrest Whitley, it's always felt like kind of waiting for the sequel to a movie to come out forever, and you're worried that it's going to end up being like Blade Runner 2045 or whatever it was, or Dumb and Dumber 2.
Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2,
brutal.
Oh.
I don't know. I feel good about it this time. Yeah. I feel like Dan Aykroyd can really step in Caddyshack 2 for Bill Murray and bring it home.
Mason. Is he going to be Jackie Mason or Rodney Dangerfield when Forrest Whitley shows up?
That was bad casting, man. I hope Whitley does better than that. The roster's expanded 28. Kyle Tucker, it really does feel like this is happening now. You know, you saw a video of him running over the weekend. He hit an upper deck home run in batting practice yesterday. They're actually
probably motivated by the Paralympics. You know, you watch enough of those videos, you're like, holy crap. I got a little owie on my shin. I better get the bell bag. Yeah. Be grateful for what you got, Kyle Tucker. Get your butt back out there.
The reason I feel good about it is Dana Brown finally, as opposed to like being very vague with the time frame, said he could potentially be back by Wednesday or Thursday of the Cincinnati series. I feel like when they're throwing specific days out there, it means that this could be happening. You alluded to it also. Ronel Blanco looks like he would be the one to go to the bullpen when they go to a 5-man rotation where they start to actually get some off days plunked down here down the stretch. So there's a lot going on, but none more important than the Astros sweeping the Royals over the weekend. Because from what I understand, and I've been a little out of the mix here over the last few days. From what I understand, Ron Hughley made a wager of some sort that now leads to him having to get his hair dyed blonde, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good bet. That's a really good radio bet.
I feel, yeah, you know what? And I'm guilty. I don't know exactly why they decided on that. I assumed it had something to do with Blanco because, you know, his current hair color is blonde or platinum, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's El Blanco Blanco. Mm-hmm. He's not the Oso Blanco. He's El Blanco Blanco.
El Blanco.
But I look forward to that. I think it might, Ron, I think Ron can pull it off.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
I think it's going to look good.
Is he going to grow it out and kind of like the perm that the kids are growing fond of these days?
I don't know. That's a good suggestion. All I know is I saw a lot of people tweeting about him dyeing his hair blonde. That's all I know at this point. If a listener wants to text in and help out, like I was gone Thursday and Friday, so I don't know what all has been going on up here.
I was talking to the woman who cuts my hair this weekend, and I told her, and she agrees with me, that for a long time, if a white dude had a mullet or a mustache, or if a black guy had a perm, you could kind of like you could look at the guy and be like, this guy's probably pretty funny. He's doing this ironically. And now we've gotten to a point where that's what these kids are doing. They're growing mustache, or young adult men. Yeah. They've got mustaches that are non-ironic, and I find myself continually disappointed that I'll meet one of them and they're like, oh, you're just a boring, typical jackass 22-year-old. Right. There's no mirth here. What the hell? This is just how you choose to look.
It all comes back around, man. It all comes back around. And the mullet and the mustache, Ron bringing back the blonde hair for the fellas out there. So yeah, that's I'm excited to see this, man. And I also won a bet this weekend with Lopez from the Notre Dame A&M game. Because Notre Dame won that game, you will not be subjected to having to do a show with me while I wear an A&M helmet the entire show. on the stream for the people on the YouTube and the Twitch streams, Lopez, he's going to have to wear a Notre Dame helmet the entire show on a show to be chosen by me, I guess. I don't know when. I don't think John's in today, so it won't be today.
To honor the Aggies, I would have targeted you. Seeing you wear that helmet, I would have...
Crown of the helmet, man. Yeah.
You know, they had that early ejection, and then I was more worried for Scooby Williams there. If he gotten hit in the knees on that targeting penalty, he got caught in the crossfire there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he'd been gotten hit like a millisecond earlier with his foot planted, that could have been ugly.
Yeah, could have been bad.
I wish Wigman would have just hit a receiver downfield at one point.
No, that was good. I was kind of good with his accuracy in that game. I liked it.
Yeah, you can go die. I was texting between you and Farragher, my two Notre Dame alumni buddies, during the game, and I blocked Farragher's number by the end of it.
Well, was he being obnoxious?
I told him I was on an honorary Aggie, and he made some pretty good jokes about it, so I had to block him. He's done. Yeah, he's dead to me now.
Till Tuesday.
I'm not inviting him to the next cult meeting.
Till Wednesday,
I was going to try to indoctrinate him myself, but I couldn't do it.
Man, so Lopez, I don't know when I'm going to do it. The big thing I need to do is get hold of an actual Notre Dame helmet. I thought about going and seeing if I could borrow like Blake Fisher or Jared Patterson's helmet or something like that.
I'll tell you what, there is those helmets... like under the bright lights of Kyle Field, it at one point there where I was deluding myself into thinking that Notre Dame was going to blow that game, despite their quarterback being obviously more ready for the moment. It was almost like the helmets were. I was coming up with something poetic, but no, they just
like
won.
A seraphim's glow. Eyes as wide as the Sphinx.
Riley Leonard, eyes as wide as the Sphinx.
That's what he was. All right.
Casey Wigman, eyes as wide as a doe caught in the headlights.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what he was.
He had no options downfield, man. There was nothing. It was a classic. They were throwing up hoping for a PI at some point.
That secondary is really, really good for Notre Dame. I texted Casario was at the game. I texted him. I said, best secondary at Notre Dame since Todd Light lived down the hall from me in 1991.
They were really good. Yeah. That was very impressive by them. And then having Notre Dame's offensive line, it was an issue for them. Their youth was an issue, and they just the A&M just couldn't capitalize on it quite enough.
Yeah, six combined. Sorry, we'll get to that at 7 o'clock. I've got a big question for Aggies and college football fans. We'll get to it at 7 o'clock. We'll do an Acknowledge Me at 7:20. We're here all 4 hours. I know usually during football season, Monday's a two-hour deal. Seth and I are here till 10 a.m. this morning, so we're getting you ready. Week one is here, man. It is week one. I'm fired up. The Colts and the Texans, hell week, begins today. In fact, it begins in about 5 minutes. We will start
a week for one of them.
That's right. That's right. A week of joy for us. I know it. We'll get to that coming up next. Stay there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. It is it's week one, man. Three nights from now, we get the season opener, the Ravens and the Chiefs.
So
we get
to, oh my gosh!
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's Thursday night, Seth. A game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610.
You know what? This is what Thursday night football does to me all the time. It's why I'm horrendous at fantasy football. Is the ambush of Thursday night football?
Up.
And Sean, I'm old enough now that I've been living through this Thursday night opener for quite some time, and yet it's a surprise to me every year.
I'll remind you each day this week. Don't worry.
It's such a good matchup.
Really good. Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird that I've got a. It's hard for me with the AFC, but I've got. I'm pulling for the Ravens in a way that won't hurt the Texans somehow, but I do feel like, all right, can somebody just please, as often as possible, knock off the Chiefs, regular season, postseason, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We're going to get into the Texans and the Colts here, the first look at it in just a second, but it's funny you say that. I was reading an article in The Athletic over the weekend, and pretty fancy. It says NewYorkTimes.com now. When you go to it,
It was underneath my latest New Yorker.
Yeah. I'm very sophisticated.
Yeah.
But it was the ten teams with the shortest odds to win the Super Bowl, and why they can win and why they can't win. And I clicked on this article with great anticipation because I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see what they say about the Texans. Come to find out,
right,
at least according to this, you saw the same article, you fraud. You read the same stuff I do, you snob. So they come to find out that according to at least this janky-ass computer model that Austin Mock was using in this article, the Texans aren't even one of the top 10 teams to win the Super Bowl percentage-wise. So I didn't get to see why. But this is my takeaway, as long as we're talking about the Chiefs and the Ravens for 30 seconds here, is that it seems like every other team, there are tangible, like, football reasons as to why, like, roster reasons as to why they can't win the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
The Ravens are a really good team. They lost some offensive linemen. They've got issues on the offensive line. You know, they've got other issues that are functional. The Texans, you know, have functional issues with the roster. Depth here,
right.
Depth there. They can't run the football, whatever it may be.
Christian Harris has a Kyle Tucker disease.
Yes. Stuff like that. With the Chiefs, it's all, they have a target on their back. Nobody, you know, nobody's ever three-peated. It's all these things that just can't happen because they've never happened.
It's all not, Skinamax.
Yeah,
It's not what I was really hoping for or expecting, but yeah.
Yeah, right. There's only
even partial. They're like, okay, they lost L'Jarius Sneed, but they have a history of taking guys like L'Jarius Sneed and really developing them at cornerback.
Yeah, there's no glaring Achilles heel with the Chiefs. So I'm with you on that one. That's a good one. I'm going to root for the Ravens this week because I need the... I need the Chiefs to look mortal. They looked mortal in the regular season last year. It's just they flipped the switch.
I mean, that, you know what it feels like a little bit is the Spurs forever.
Yeah.
Where, you know, with me, I'm saying, well, Kelsey's going to get old. And that's what it looked like last year in the regular season. Well, Kelsey's just not the same.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, okay, but in the playoffs, they've got that Astros switch. They're at a point now where because they have so much experience in the playoffs, and it was like this with the Patriots before the Chiefs, that there's no accounting for how much that playoff experience and comfort level pays off in the postseason.
Yep.
By the way, and just for anybody wondering, because they went through 10 teams in that article, right?
They did, 10 teams.
Yeah, the Texans are, on most boards, they're like fourth or fifth favored to be a Super Bowl champion right now on the odds board.
On the odds board, yeah. This was one of those articles where this guy has a computer simulate the season a million times or whatever it is, and then they just take the percentage. So
he's running MS-DOS, screw that guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, MS-DOS. He's running BASIC. All right, let's get to the Colts. Here was Dwight Freeney, Colts Hall of Famer, by the way, went in this offseason with Andre Johnson. He was on with Kay Adams. We know there's a lot of chatter. A lot of chatter between the Colts and the Texans this offseason.
Most of it instigated by Kay, but yes.
Right. Well, we got E.J. Speed and Zaire Franklin versus C.J. Stroud, that little thing going on. Here was Dwight Freeney saying this baby's, after being prompted by Kay Adams, you're right, said, this is going to be a bloodbath, man.
No matter who you're playing, and especially as a team, like a rival, you're trying to get after them, you know, and they just happen to make it public for everyone to know. Houston knew, you know, they know what's going on. They know that this is a division opponent. If they don't like us, we don't like them. Same thing with the Colts. So there is no surprises here. You know, it's going to be a, you know, lack of better words, a bloodbath out there. And it should be. First game of the year. Adrenaline is going to be hyped and pumping. The building is going to be rocking. It's going to be a great game.
A bloodbath. That's where Dwight Freeney, she tried like hell. She took three swings at that before she finally got him to say anything remotely inflammatory. And it's a lot worse when you see it in print. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
He basically said even-handedly that it's going to be a bloodbath, that both teams are very, very motivated.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, for all current purposes, Dwight Freeney, who seems like a pleasant gentleman, let's ruin his inaugural year in the Hall of Fame. Let's just get this thing started. The Colts have been what they have been the last few years, a team that's got a great roster, but they just can't figure it out at quarterback. And maybe Anthony Richardson is the one, but there's also a good chance that he's going to be injured by week three. Smoke him while you got him with Anthony Richardson. You might not see him again in the second matchup.
He's very polarizing from this standpoint, and I know you did a really good video on him on your YouTube feed, which we can touch on here. There's a good chance to touch on it, but... Like, it's them playing the Colts in week one is a very, I have mixed feelings about it because on the one hand, this is the time of year, you know, Anthony Richardson is going to be fully healthy early in the season. We saw it last year in week two.
Yeah.
On the other hand, this is a guy who has started 23 games at quarterback in his life, in high school, college, and the NFL. He has started 23 games at this position. So he is still very, very green. On the one hand, he is one of just four quarterbacks to open his NFL career in the first month with three touchdown passes and three rushing touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand,
two of them against the Texans.
On the other, right, two against the Texans. On the other hand, the other three quarterbacks to do it are Dante Culpepper, major disappointment, Cam Newton, MVP of the league, who couldn't run by the time he was in year seven, but the best of the three. And the other one's RG3, who I don't know how to feel about RG3 these days. My point is, on the one hand, that's really impressive. Like, he comes into the league and he takes it by storm. On the other hand, this is no sort of predictability factor for success, for future success.
If you're making comparisons, and I'm not talking about direct physical comparisons here, because I think that when you think about rookie quarterbacks who take the league by storm, but then it kind of fizzles out for them later, I think the one that probably resonates most with us Texans fans emotionally is Vince Young, who in the first time he came to NRG Stadium, he just, you know, he tore the cover off the ball in a good way for them. And, you know, his career wouldn't quite work out that way, but there's an ambush element to really gifted quarterbacks when they're young. Now, Anthony Richardson's arm talent, when it's good, is very elite. It's just he struggles to do it consistently, but he makes some throws that are crazy. So I shy away from saying, okay, RG3 or Vince Young, because, you know, an RG3 could throw the hell out of a deep ball, but Richardson, if he can really refine his throwing better than it is, he could be scary with his arm, but he's still got an erratic quality to him, to where the ball sails on him more than you'd like. Some of the simple throws are just a bit off. And then his legs, too. If he can stay healthy, he's a scarier runner than RG3. He's a scarier runner than Vince Young.
Yeah.
It really is. It's scary if you think about what he could become, and you can see what people saw in him, but it's just a huge experiment right now.
So tell me how to feel then, Seth. Should I feel nervous that we're getting Anthony Richardson in week one fully activated, or should I feel good that we're getting Anthony Richardson while he is starting game number 24 of his life?
I think, honestly, to not even make it as much about Anthony Richardson, from watching the preseason, which is dicey when you try to make forecasts with the preseason, but it was very clear from the two times he showed up in the preseason that he and his receivers aren't quite on the same page. And now sometimes, you know, they're just running experiments in the preseason and they're doing some things that maybe just haven't been ironed out yet. But I think most of the time it was the receiver's fault. It's tempting sometimes when you see some of the errant passes to think, oh, yep, same old Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Most of the passes that I watched that on the TV copy, if you're just watching through the highlights of the game, look like a bad pass, were actually him and the receiver not being on the same page. And A.D. Mitchell a couple times, A.D. Mitchell was playing more like a rookie, just altered his routes a little bit. And so that's, I think, a positive for the Texans. I think that this Colts offense and Anthony Richardson coming back, still very inexperienced, I don't think they quite got it dialed in yet. And that's where the chance for some turnovers comes in.
I am shocked that the spread is what it is on this game.
Minus one for the Texans.
Well, I know you had said on your video minus one. It may be minus one in some places.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Yahoo right now, and I will recall Amy and I stopped in Lake Charles on our way home from where we were in Louisiana during the week last week, and it was minus 2.5 Texans.
I locked it in when it was minus one.
You got all in right. on a good investment, man, because this thing moved. This thing is moving in the Texans' direction. Minus 2.5, and just to contextualize that for people who aren't well-versed in the dark arts of the degenerate wager, that means that if this game were being played at NRG Stadium, the Texans would be easily over a touchdown favorite in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling that. Like, I think the Texans are going to be really good this year. I think the Texans have a chance to get to the Super Bowl this year. I do. I think they've got the makings of a team that can get there. For them to be a 2.5-point road favorite in an environment that is going to be, it's in the week where everybody still feels like they've got a shot at this thing in week one. You know, That atmosphere is going to be pretty electric, I think, on Sunday. The Colts, it was not all that long ago that these two teams were playing for a ton in that very stadium. I think the Colts fans, I think the Colts themselves Remember week 18 last year? That is, as you and I have discussed on the air and off the air and on the heels of Dwight Freeney saying it's going to be a bloodbath. There is nothing that's happened this offseason to throw water on that fire. If anything, right. They've thrown kerosene on that fire. The Texans being a 2.5, that's a stay away for me. I'm not touching that one.
That's the biggest, and this is simple, but it's 100% true, and we saw this last year in week 2. Anthony Richardson's legs are just a huge wild card in all of this. Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to Kamari Lassiter really being tested for the first time versus some good wide receivers here. For the aside from A.D. Mitchell, just their receiving core and their tight ends in general, they're good. But Anthony Richardson and his ability to bust out long runs against the Texans specifically last year is just a huge wild card. And that's why, you can have two discussions about him. One is, okay, how's it going to play out long term? His mechanics are still kind of janky. His footwork's all over the place. On any given Sunday at noon Central, I don't care. There's still an explosiveness there that is really hard to account for, and you just got to be dialed in defensively and playing your responsibilities to keep that from blowing up in your face.
Okay, let me ask you this then, because Christian Harris is going to be out for the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
On the scale of opponents where the downgrade from Christian Harris to, I'll say to Henry Toa, because as we know, they're in nickel as their base. They're in nickel more than anything else. So they're going to be playing with two linebackers more than they're playing with three linebackers probably. But even with three, there's still a downgrade from Christian Harris to Henry Toa. On the scale of teams that can make the Texans pay for their lack of depth at linebacker, where are the Colts? Do the Colts skew towards the end that can really, really hurt you because of Richardson? Yeah. Or do they skew towards the end where it's not as bad?
They can really hurt you because of the RPO, and that's the tough thing about the Colts. They did it with Gardner Minshew last year. One of the reasons that that Jonathan Taylor was able to run for 188 yards in Week 18 was that Gardner Minshew was really good at executing that offense of Shane Steichen's, and it puts the linebackers in a bind when you've got the threat of either run or pass or the quarterback pulling it down. And Gardner Minshew did a good job scrambling in that game and running for some positive yardage. It's a tough mental challenge for the linebackers and safeties. That's where, yes, they don't have Christian Harris, but I think right now, if you look at last year's game that the Texans won, they didn't have Alshire in that game.
Yeah,
obviously.
Right.
He was off playing for the Titans, off gallivanting about.
Denzel Perryman.
Yeah, and Denzel Perryman and the other linebackers in that game, you could see they were kind of sitting on their heels against the run some because I think they were so – it had been drilled into their head that they'd bitten so hard on play action all year long that the play action from the Colts and the RPOs could have really, really hurt them. So there was – everything was a little bit slow, and they ended up conceding a lot of run yardage, and it worked out well enough in the end, but – I think Alshire is just going to be more dialed in and on it than those linebackers were in that game last year. If I had to choose for this game between having Alshire or Christian Harris available, I'll tell you, I'd rather have Alshire.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, and so if you make it as a comparison to last year, it doesn't feel as dire. It's not like they're losing. It's not like they've lost. I think it's not a net loss compared to last year.
Got to get him got to win first and second down, man. You got to put him in passing situations, and I think they're going to be in good shape if they can do that. Big if, but if they can do that. All right, you can text in 713-572-4610. A lot of you are up and at 'em early here on a Labor Day Monday. We appreciate that. Headlines up next. The Astros, they continue to extend their lead. College football over the weekend, man. Big weekend of college football here locally that we will get to and a whole lot more. We'll do that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Pretty well hit. Center field. Back goes Isbell. That is number 30. Jordan back. And the Astros lead 4-1.
Air Jordan putting on a show. Another multi-home run game for him. This one a bomb, 404 to that opposite field gap.
He's so good. You know, his ability just to change the outcome of the game with one swing of the bat. And also, seeing his home run was also the one that set the tone.
for our offense there.
No bat flip from John Singleton on that home run. I wasn't looking at the TV screen when he hit it. I was looking at my computer, so I heard the play-by-play, and I'm like, ooh. I look at Amy, I'm like, ah, oh, I can't wait to see the replay. I want to see the bat flip from, because Singleton, he ain't afraid to flip it if he flies out to the warning track. He'll bat flip whenever.
It's kind of his natural extension of his swing. It doesn't feel like a conscious bat flip. So yeah, it is strange that on one that would you deserve a bat flip. He doesn't
do it. No bat flip, man. No bat flip. But
I like it. It's because he's just down to business. That's my take on it.
Yeah, man.
Made a nice play at first yesterday.
Hey, man, when they start seven other people at your position, you better feel like, you better have your head on a swivel. So that was good to see Singy, as they call him, get a home run. You heard Yordan's home run, 30th of the year, fourth consecutive season of 30-plus home runs for Yordan Alvarez. So this is on the heels of back in the COVID year where he had to get both knees worked on. People remember the COVID year with Yordan? 2019, he comes in, he's rookie of the year, playing half the season. Then in the COVID year, he literally has 8 plate appearances and then has to go get his knees surgically repaired. And since then, you set your watch to him hitting 30 home runs. The Astros sweep the Royals over the weekend.
He's creeping up on Berkman for most 30 homer seasons in Astros history. Bagwell has the most with 9.
Yeah.
Lance Berkman has 5. Yordan with 4.
Yep. If Yordan stays healthy, he will blow past everybody as an Astro. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty confident in that. Astros sweep the Royals. That's the big thing. Here was Joe Espada after yesterday's 7-2 victory.
Credit to these guys, man. We grinding here through a very long stretch of games. And they keep finding ways to win games, to stay in it. Our starting rotation, our bullpen, these guys have been so good. Can't say enough for how good these guys have been.
Yeah, the pitching, especially, he cited the bullpen there. The starting pitching will get acknowledged at 7:20 today. The starting pitching was historic in the month of August. Second lowest batting average allowed in a month in the history of the game.
Right.
In the history of baseball.
It's been that good, and it's, when you look at everything, I mean, Sean, off the top of my head, you can't even list all of the things that have worked against this team this year, and the fact that they've been able to scrap their way out of how they started off the season, the various minor leaguers that probably shouldn't be, some of whom shouldn't be called up for at least a year or two, if ever, that they're sitting where they are right now is first and foremost a testament to the pitching and the coaching and the analytics staff and everything else. You look at Kikuchi and the way that he's performed since coming in. It's just been astounding what they've been able to pull off over the course of the last month. But then the entirety of the season since their just horrendous, absolutely unexplainable disaster that was the first few weeks of the season.
And their bad injury luck. I mean, they've got, Seth, they've got 5 pitchers on the injured list right now. 5 starting pitchers on the injured list that if they were healthy and performing how they normally do when they are healthy, would be a playoff rotation, or at least a fringe wild card team. Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, and I'll throw JP France in there since he won 11 games for you last year as a starter. He'd be your 5th, obviously.
Yeah.
That is a rotation that, when healthy, competes for a playoff spot in the American League. That's who the Astros have on the injured list. Like, that's the guys that are out. none of those guys threw a pitch in the month in which they set this record or near record for batting average allowed. It really is like credit. There's a lot of people that deserve credit with this.
That's where I look off to, and almost right now I'm kind of looking at the current starting pitchers on your roster, whether they're on the IL or not, it's a little bit of your pipeline too.
Yeah,
because some of those guys are very good off-season trade bait in a lot of ways. So guys under team control, maybe there's a team that's going to have to wait for them to come back from their Tommy John, maybe until late in the season next year. You've got assets. You got more assets than whatever the bogus. By now, the Astros over the last 10 years have completely debunked and just shot down the validity of pipeline rating systems.
Yes,
They've just got some. Will Wagner's going off this weekend. You know, they're just. You can't look at those pipeline ratings and think that that's what it actually is, because the Astros have done so much more than with however those guys are rated by Keith Law at any given time.
Yeah, I when it comes to those ratings, the only reason they really factor into my brain, especially right now that clearly the window is still open for them to win something, is, okay, as long as they're getting two or three guys, you know, one, two, three guys each year that are kind of supplementing things, you still have a core, then the minor league system, in terms of feeding the major league roster, is doing just fine, as you just pointed out. The only time it hurts you, as we learned at the trade deadline, is the trade deadline. There are teams out there that do take those ratings into account when they're giving you when you're trying to make a trade.
Right. They're looking at
currency.
They're looking at people differently than the Astros do. So, on average, I'm guessing that the Astros' assessment, a lot of those guys, is higher than how most other teams are assessing them.
Yep. College football this weekend, a lot of local flavor. Notre Dame beats A&M 23-13. I'm going to save that one for the top of the hour because I have a big question when it comes to that game for you Aggies out there. UT beats Colorado State 52-0. Tough one for the Cougs on Saturday. UNLV comes in 27-7. They beat the Cougs. Last night, LSU loses to USC 27-20 in a primetime game that I think a majority of people were able to watch. But if you have DirecTV, which we do, fortunately I have the ESPN Plus app, so I was able to watch it on there. But I turn on ABC at 6:30 or whatever it is. Carriage dispute between Disney and DirecTV, which had people irate last night. That's when DirecTV chose to hit the switch and turn them off.
was right before the game.
LSU,
they pulled a Heidi game with no warning or anything.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're paying attention, maybe you thought. But I think a lot of people, for the most part, I don't read the carriage dispute stuff unless it's going to affect me. And even then, I'm kind of out to lunch on it. And I
had no idea.
I can't believe you still have DirecTV, just if you had a choice, because I got so disgusted with their customer service over time. Yeah. There was one point when I had DirecTV, which I had to have because of the NFL Sunday Ticket, when they had the NFL Sunday Ticket. I got so frustrated after like 3 hours on the phone, and I was in one of those loops where they kept sending me to another department. And then that department would send me to another department, and then that department would send me back to the original department. I just canceled my subscription and signed back up. That was the only way I could fix the issue I was having.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, we have it. We've never had a satellite dish, but DirecTV got bought by AT&T, so we were a U-verse house.
Yeah.
So we got kind of blended in. So we have the app, the DirecTV app, on our Apple TV. So, yeah, anyways. Hopefully some of you are able to find it. It was a really good game. It was nip and tuck the whole way. Really good game. LSU loses to USC. So Brian Kelly, tradition like no other, losing the opener on national TV. He's done it three straight years with the Tigers. Texans, they are getting back at it this week, getting ready for the Colts. We will get you ready for the Colts all week long here on Sports Radio 610. I guess the only update, and I think this may have come out after you and Brandon were done on Friday, Seth, but
yeah.
The NRG roof news, there was an update from NRG Park on the roof. And good news, the panel, there's two big panels that are blown out. You guys, if you're a sports fan, you've seen it by now. Or if you're a Texan fan, you've been in the stadium to see it. There's a panel that was blown out by Hurricane Beryl that the sunlight kind of comes in over about the 30-yard line on the south end of the field. The other strip that was knocked out, huge hole, is over the entirety of the south end stands, which probably a lot of you feel more acutely in the sun. The good news here is it doesn't look like anybody's going to have to sit in the sun again, because the panel over the field is going to be repaired in time for the Bears game next Sunday, September 15th. But that's a night game.
Right.
So you're not going to have to sit in the sun if you have seats, because we had people texting in last week that sit in that part of the stadium that were like, it was brutal during the Rams game. That part, the other panel that's over the stands, will be repaired in time for week 4, which is the first noon home game of the regular season.
Listen, not to ignore the plight of those people who have to get extra vitamin D, but the thing that affects me, not just during the game, but then afterwards when I'm watching film,
TV,
is the fact that you can't see what the hell happens in that beam of sunlight that's on the field. Not to mention, Sean, it screws up the it screws up the virtual lines, the first down markers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like that goes all haywire, and you're seeing it superimposed over the top of players. For the TV experience, I'd look forward to the day that I can see things that happen in that 5-yard window.
TV experience, guys being able to pick up the ball if it's going through. You know, we see that with baseball sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe it does affect them on the field.
It looked like it messed with the punt returners a little bit.
It wasn't. I went and I did the geometry on that. Dez King had no excuse for muffing that punt.
I get it. He was at the other end. But there were did two games they had there. It looked like some of the punt returners, maybe because they're third stringers in the NFL and they have trouble catching the football anyways.
Yeah.
But TV is a big thing. And then if there were weather, it would have been awfully strange to have a strip of wet turf in the middle of the field. The whole field's dry except for the 30 to 40 yard line at the south end of the stadium. That would have been strange. That'll get fixed. All right, 7 o'clock hour coming up here. I've got a question. Oh, first of all, our baseball talk is in this segment presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. I got a question for you Aggies out there. After now being 1-9 in games where College Game Day shows up in Aggieland, that's got to hurt, man. Which emotion following that Notre Dame game was the more magnified emotion? Was it the Notre Dame joy of winning that game or the Texas A&M sorrow of realizing, here we go again? We've got that. We'll cover college football. And we got Acknowledge Me coming up at 7:20. Stay there.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.